Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, my friends. It's me, Simon Miller, in a brand new location as I continue to live in the United States of America because I am starring in the Last Match musical experience, Wrestling Extravaganza, and it starts this week, so do get your tickets if you are on the East Coast of America. But it also means that what I'm doing here, I got to watch Monday Night Raw live. But was it any good, or would I rather been in the UK asleep right now? Let's find out by giving the good bits an up. Bad bits down. So after Michael Cole and Pat McAfee had welcomed us to Monday Night Raw, we got the big old hoopla because we were going to have a women's battle royal later to crown a brand new women's champion. Because as a video reminded us, Rhea Ripley has gotten injured. I suppose fair play to WWE. A battle royal isn't the most creative thing to do, but they did not see this coming. For all of that though, we were going to be focused on the men's world heavyweight championship because of course at Backlash is going to be Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. Now I'm very intrigued about this matchup because it is basically two new dudes trying to elevate themselves to the main event scene, which is why who came out to say hello? But it's main event Jey Uso, obviously. And that was Jey's whole point as well. He was like, listen to my nickname, brah. I am going to have to prove that I am worthy. I got to put my hand up like, Jey, you make a really good point. But I kind of think it's going to be Cody closing the show. Priest then soon interrupted this, because of course it is the start to Monday Night Raw, and Jey Uso had said his names a few times, which is Wrestling Clause 14.8. And this was one that just got a little bit weird, because in many ways, they were all nicey nice to each other. Because apparently during a match they'd had in the past, Damien didn't realise that Jey was going to kick his ass so much, so afterwards they went out for a drink, and it's why when they did come to Raw all those months ago, he was like, oh, Jey, you should come and join the Judgment Day. Although Jey told him to go away and he didn't want to do it. So I don't really get what the point was. They also chat about the fact that Jey had a feeling in his tum-tum that he was going to be the next guy. When Damo was like, well, you were wrong about that one. Because who's holding the gold? It's not you, it's me. So as far as Priest is concerned, Jey Uso is just a guy that is going to be fed to him by the machine. Which obviously wound Jey up. And he was like, dude, you only the leader of the Judgment Day. Because Rhea Ripley isn't here. And also from my vantage point, you're basically just Dominic's bitch. I was like, man, he said, bitch, it's serious. JD McDonagh then ran in, so clearly Damian Priest did have bad intentions. But when Jey Uso went to superkick him, he totally missed and he hit Damian in the face. And this is when he was kind of conflicted, because I suppose he didn't mean to do it. But I was also like, Jey, you want to take the title from that man? You need the killer instinct. We then had a show-long tease, because Damian was super mad at JD McDonagh, because of course, when you push everything together, I don't think he's long for the Judgment Day. When we do sum it all up, this was all right too, and I do understand what we're doing here. Clearly the long-term plan is to make Damian Priest a babyface, so he's kind of tight-walking that rope. But also, like we talked about 37 seconds ago, Damian Priest and Jey Uso right now are trying to cement themselves at a top level, so I think they needed to come out here and just light fire under people's asses. Not entirely sure they did that. It certainly wasn't bad, although it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen. But yeah, because I do think they need to hit a massive home run to tell the people at home we certainly can occupy this position. I do have to give it a down, but I'm still a fan of this, and I hope when we get to the pay-per-view premium live event, they totally smash it. Chad Gable and Gunther were then shown turning up to Raw, but not together, obviously, because that wouldn't have made any sense when we got a big old hype package for the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring. And I tell you, whoever wins that, just give them something to go for afterwards. Maybe the winner can choose when to face the Intercontinental Champion, because then that tournament will be twice as good as it is straight away. Well, I think WWE started to tease another turn. Triple H is obsessed with this. But it was a tag team title match between The Awesome Truth and DIY, and it only went 10 minutes, which was another shock, but I suppose that's because the main point was going to be the post-match angle. I mean, Tommaso Ciampa still wrecked The Miz, gave him this horrific knee when Miz went for a springboard, when, of course, he got the tag to R-Truth to hit John Cena's five moves of doom. But Johnny Gargano is clearly not a fan of Big Match John, and he super kicked R-Truth right in the face. Ciampa also then hit a pedigree for a 1-2 ooh. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? People are already going to start calling you Triple H, and if you start doing his moves, well, you could be Hunter forever. DIY then actually did hit the meat in the middle, so they were going to win and become the champions, but just as the ref was going to hit three, Miz pulled Johnny Gargano out of the ring when the Awesome Truth got ring of Tommaso Ciampa when they hit their double flatliner skull crushing finale thingamajig onto John, and they just pinned him. I was like, well, why not? The interesting part, though, was that afterwards everybody did embrace because they are good guys. Apart from Tommaso, I am not Triple H Ciampa. He refused to do anything, and he rolled out the ring. So one of two things is going to happen. Johnny Gargano is going to join him as a bad guy. Or the other is that we may be about to redo the Tommaso-Johnny Gargano feud on the main roster. And I did sit and ponder this. And even though it did go on for around about 76 years in NXT, I do actually think I'd take it again. So it did mean this came and went far faster than I was expecting. But listen, I'm that guy. I love R-Truth. I like the fact that Miz is with him. I just like the fact they're a bit dumb. That's right. It pleases me. This was also pretty decent. Let's gig it up. When we had more problems with the Judgment Day. Damn it. But Damien was still yelling at JD McDonough when Dominic walked in. He's like, see, I got injured. I told you I cannot be in the match tonight. Damo was not happy. This was also true because Mysterio, who just walked in with Santos Escobar, he was like, this dude will tag in for me, so don't worry about it. I got everything under control. Priest was still absolutely livid about this, and he told Escobar, don't screw it up. So once again, give it like 4, maybe 5, maybe 6 weeks. I don't think Damian Priest is going to be in this group anymore. When Gunther finally made his big return to Raw, and I tell you this guy, because he said flat out that he doesn't want to talk about WrestleMania or Sami Zayn, because let's look at the facts here. He was the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, and given the legacy that he has left, he's also the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Listen, I ran the numbers. I think you can argue. Ring General even then said he was pleased that this has happened because now the weight has been taken off his shoulders, which also means he's no longer the hunted and he's going to become the hunter again, not Tommaso Ciampa. And that is why he is entering the King of the Ring. And I started doing the dance of joy because I was like, right, I've totally changed my mind. One, yep, he should be the guy to be victorious. And two, this year, the winner of the King of the Ring should get a world championship shot because who deserves one of those? It's Gunther. He basically said this as well. So now I don't know whether it's official rule or he was just trying to manifest it into existence. But he did call out the entire locker room and said, when I do win, I shall pick my championship and you'll be totally boned. I think we're even happier though, because the New Day interrupted here and Xavier Woods said, by the way, I'm the current King of the Ring and I don't like the way you're talking. This is the best thing about new WWE. If something happened in the past, we will talk about it. He also wants to be a two-time king, which is when Gunther said, you're nothing but a clown king. I was like, dude, bro, I know you were trying there. That's not much of an insult. You just pushed two words together. Gunther thought it was laughable, though, that when Xavier did climb this perch, he just decided to wear gold as opposed to go after golden belts, which is when the New Day started to take the mick out of Gunther for losing the Intercontinental title. And I just love these two. They're such children, but it made me giggle. Gunther then said they should shut their mouths and take on Imperium. And once again, Woods and Kofi Kingston are the best. They were like, we don't want to take on them again. We've wrestled them around about 24,792 times. They have. Mostly, though, I'm just such a massive fan of the King of the Ring. And now you've got Gunther and Xavier Woods going, oh man, we think it's really important too. So now I just care about the tournament a little bit more. Also, Gunther is something special, and he should be the world champion before the end of 2025. Let's get it out. Before we did get to this match, though, we saw a bunch of women saying, I'm going to win the Women's Battle Royal, so someone was clearly lying, when we kind of took the last segment, and we went all the way with it. That's right. Because this match was totally fine, but the thing we need to talk about is that Triple H wasn't just teasing turns in this episode of Raw, he was doing them, because at the end of this, after Imperium had lost, Ludwig Kaiser grabbed Giovanni Vinci, and he basically killed him. I think he felt that Giovanni was to blame because at one point they were doing double team moves when it totally fell apart and the New Day hit the up, up, down, down to get the three. But But then seriously, Ludwig was throwing him into Barry Barricade. He was throwing him into the hardest part of the ring apron. He was throwing him to Alan the announce table. And poor Simba the Steel Steps, he got it the worst. Because Ludwig actually grabbed his head and he was going to crush it in this steel. And thankfully, all the WWE officials ran out to stop him. But because WWE officials are terrible at their job, when they had escorted Kaiser to the aisleway, he just ran around the other side of the ring like no one could see that coming. And yeah, he took his knee and he just slammed this man's head into Simba. And when it was so brutal, pulled out the crime counter, he goes up by one, he'd probably been murdered. And my only worry is that I think these two are stronger together than they are apart, and I can't think for the world of me what we will do with Giovanni Vinci. But given that Ludwig then went backstage and Gunther looked at him like a proud parent, this did work on some level. I just need to see it play out. I mean, is Giovanni Vinci going to become like the US champion? The moment, I'd have to say no. Still though, if you are going to execute something like this, it is the way to do it. Now I really want to see what Gunther and Ludwig's plans are the following week. Maybe they put somebody new in Imperium, like, I don't know, Otis. We'll talk about it later.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We then had a video with Andrade, who basically said, "Listen to me, Judgment Day. I don't have to listen to your rules," or something like that. And I think we may be re-teaming Drew McIntyre and Sheamus up together again. I don't think I'm against it. Drew stormed out and got CM Punk chants and was all like, "Oh man, why are you doing this? Do you not realise he hates all of you? And the only person he hates more is himself." Shots fired. He then shut a what chant down by saying, "If you say what, you French kiss your sister." And it's such an utterly ridiculous thing to say. It does make me laugh. You can go watch this. At least one person in the crowd did say what. They got to go to jail. McIntyre was also pissed here because last week he had to be in a fatal four-way match. Where the hell was his title rematch that most people get when he too declared for the King of the Ring? So I was doing the dance of joy again because, you know, I just predicted that Gunther was going to win. But now I kind of think it could be Drew. The finals of this could be amazing. And this is when Sheamus walked out and was all like, "Oh my gosh, I've known you for years. You are my buddy, so I'm just going to tell it to you straight. You made the mistake at WrestleMania, and you need to start putting the finger of blame at yourself." He also wanted to make it clear that Drew should be embarrassed because he got his ass kicked by one-armed CM Punk when McIntyre got super mad. He's like, "Listen, you've known me for years. You know what Punk did to me back in the day, so if anyone's going to understand, it should be you." Given that Sheamus had talked about the fact that they used to have banger after banger, Drew McIntyre actually went to the social media well again, because he said, "Well, that's great to hear, but at the moment, it looks like you've been eating burger after burger." Now, of course, this ties into the internet, where everyone was like, "Oh, man, Sheamus is so out of shape right now." And fine, if you were one of the people that said this, you now have to post a picture of yourself on your social media accounts. And that's right, you're not going to do it, so you should shut your mouth, especially because, as Sheamus told us, he didn't think he was going to be back until the pay-per-view premium live event. You just know in about 6 weeks, he's going to be big and ripped again, and even now, he looks perfectly fine. Sheamus just laughed this off, though, and said, "Well, you know what, Drew, I can lose the weight, but you can't lose the stupid." Once again, that was such a silly Billy line. I was cracking up again. Drew then also claimed that everybody backstage was mocking Sheamus, but because he is his only friend, he told them to shut up. Once again, Seamus was like, man, I don't really care. I just want to beat people up. The difference this time, though, is that Drew was all like, yeah, that's what I used to do, but now I've realised that fighting is only worth it when there's something worthwhile to gain. But don't worry, pal, because I will hang out there and I will watch your next match. Now, he kind of spun this like he was being a good dude, but the way he said it, I don't think I trust Drew McIntyre. This was just really cool, though, because, again, they are real-life friends, so they have such good chemistry together. It kind of made me start pondering what relationship they are going to have, because you could put the world title on Drew, and maybe you could put the Intercontinental title on Sheamus, and they could be a modern-day two-man power trip. Now, I know, I don't know why I want that, but I do want it. So it's getting it up. It also turned out that Drew was being honest here, because it was time for Sheamus versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And he watched the whole thing. The biggest problem is that Nakamura has lost so much recently, you knew he was never going to lose. And this was only Sheamus' second match back in about, what, 6 to 8 months? So he was always going to win. So you could just sit back and enjoy two big men slapping man meat. But the result was never in question. We did get the avalanche white noise, which I always enjoy seeing. And at one point, Shinsuke dropped his knee right onto Sheamus when he was on the outside. And then the Irishman hit the kneecap, which is the stupidest new maneuver name that has been there for a while, when he hit a brogue out of nowhere, 1, 2, 3. Now, I think that McIntyre was pleased about this, but I'm not 100% sure, but I think that was meant to be the takeaway. And look, it was just a fun match on a pretty weird Raw. It can have it up. Sami Zayn was then doing an interview, because of course he cannot believe what Chad Gable did last week, and he'd love to see him go try and explain this later. And Bronson Reed walked in and said, listen, mate, you don't worry about him, because I want the Intercontinental title. Now, Sam was fine with this and said that he could have a shot, but this, of course, is when Reed blindsided him and he absolutely whipped his ass. So maybe we're heading to a triple threat match, because trust me, Chad also ain't done with Sam. And we found that out right away, because out came Chad Gable, and he did have his Alpha Academy friends with him. And I started to get the fear. Now, Gable actually thinks his attack was totally justified because, of course, they were in Sami Zayn's hometown. And fair enough, he was beaten. But when he was all upset in the corner, what did Zayn do? He laid the Intercontinental title down at his feet. And that was clearly to try and wind him up. But even then, Chad was the bigger man. And when he was trying to leave, what did Sami Zayn do? He celebrated in front of his friends and in front of his family with his wife. And as far as Chad is concerned, that is a total diss. So he had to break him in two. So Gable totally believes that Sammy was trolling and he's lost his mind. And this is when he said, you know what, I would have been the Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania if I wasn't wasting my time training Sami Zayn and also these other bozos. And he was talking about the Alpha Academy. They were right there. Because he said Tazawa was a joke that can never win a match. He said Maxine was pretty as a picture, but also pretty useless. When he turned to Otis and said, you are my biggest disappointment. That's when I started to cry. That's really horrible. Chad also spun this one as well, because he was all like, listen, you wanted me to be your trainer, so sometimes you need to hear the hard truths. So I need to hear you say you are going to be with me no matter what. And Oakless was kind of nodding, but this horrible Gable made him say it out loud. And I tell you, while Oakless did this, you could see something within him died. Obviously, eventually he will turn on Chad Gable. But in this moment, I had water coming out of my seeing devices. Chad then walked off, and I tell you, Gable sold me on his heel persona in about 2 minutes. He is so good at this. When the Alpha Academy do turn on him, and I imagine the Creed brothers come out to start a brand new Alpha Academy, well, I'm going to be a happy man. This was one of the best things on Raw. It's getting it up. Ricochet was then shown warming up when Dominic Mysterio walked in. And how the flub did I miss this earlier? Dom Dom has grown the creepiest, most horrible moustache ever. Which also means it's the best. Rick was obviously upset because he wanted to fight Dominic, but instead he will whip Santos's ass. And he also talked the fact that he was going to be on WWE Speed this week. Now, is that good for you? This is when the condom turned around, and who did he lock eyes with? It was none other than Liv Morgan, because of course that's the person that took out Rhea Ripley. So maybe we are going to do something here. Also, talk about the synergy between Dom and Rhea. Mysterio is properly hurt, and it happened at the exact same time. They will be in love forever. Nia Jax then also cut a promo saying she was going to win the Women's Championship later. So once again, there was no truth here. But it was time for Andrade and Ricochet taking on the Judgment Day. Ricochet and Santos Escobar were also wearing the same gear here. So thankfully, one doesn't have any hair. Otherwise, I would have been totally lost. I don't want to downplay this because I didn't think it was quite entertaining. But it was just your standard WWE tag team match. Even though he's only at ringside two, the crowd was totally on Dominic and also started to chant, shave your mustache. But he was so offended by this, of course he cast distraction that screwed over Ricochet and he got attacked from behind. Damn. Santos then hit him with a Hurricanrana and that did trigger the commercial break, and this does happen a lot. when we kind of got a lukewarm tag to Andrade and he did the Three Amigos, and I suppose we got a kind of hot tag to Ricochet, but for some reason the crowd weren't really into this. Maybe they knew the result. It got really good towards the end, though, because the finish was so damn cool, because everybody was on top of Tina the Turnbuckle, and when JD McDonagh got pushed into the middle, Santos Escobar tried to do something like a Hurricane Rana onto Ricochet, but he basically turned that into a leg drop in midair, and he ruined JD. I was like, hot damn, that was good. Andrade also then used the Shadow, which is also a terrible name for a finisher, to get the 1-2-3. But quite clearly, Damian Priest had been watching all of this and decided, I'm going to kill you, because he ran out, and not only did he totally smash Ricochet, he took out Andrade too. He also went and yelled at Dominic after this in Spanish, and given that McDonagh was there, he was like, I don't speak that language, can you tell me what you mean? The Priest had no qualms in saying it. He was like, you don't need me, but I need you. Nope, the other way around. It was like, you need me, but I don't need you, because once again, what are we teasing here? That he is going to leave the Judgment Day. I do like this, though, because this is a far better way to portray Damian Priest. He has some edge, not Adam Copeland. He went to AEW. So yeah, more of this guy, and less of the guy in the first segment. This definitely gets it up. Zoe Stark had a big old video when she too was talking about the Women's Battle Royal, but she also mentioned how when she was called up to the main roster, she hasn't really gotten a proper opportunity, and all of that changes. Now, this did get me excited, because I thought she'd have a better showing in the main event, but the fact that we made this to begin with, let's keep everything crossed. Zoe is really good. She can be doing a hell of a lot more than what she's doing now. Indi Hartwell and Candice LeRae also got interviewed here, and they were totally great, because when they were asked, why are you such goobers now? They were basically like, well, you better deal with it. When we just heard this horrific shriek, and the camera turned around, Liv Morgan and Nia Jax were having a fight. And the noises here were absolutely horrible, because it sounded like a cat being killed. When Becky Lynch walked in, and listen, she was saying something on the microphone, but all of that was so loud I couldn't hear. I think Lynch must have known this too, because she actually stole the microphone and started walking around backstage, much like Sami Zayn had done last week. And she even went up to Ivy Nile and Maxine and said, hey, this is your first big opportunity at a championship. Make sure you go for it. She's a very nice person. She also looked right in the camera and told Rhea Ripley, hey, Rhea, when you are good to come back, you can challenge for that belt that I'm about to win. When we segued straight into her entrance, I tell you, this is my favourite new WWE production thing, and it's never going to get boring. It also meant it was time for this Women's Battle Royal, and yes, as we've already chatted about, maybe we could have done something like a tournament, but all things considered, I thought it was okay. It also featured Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, Ivy Nile, Maxine Dupri, Candice LeRae, Indi Hartwell, Shayna Baszler, Kayden Carter, Katana Chance, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, Natalya, and Zoe Stark. Piper Niven and Nia Jax started this off too, because of course we had to have some strong women whacking female slabs or something like that, when it was Maxine Dupri who threw out Indi Hartwell and Candice LeRae, because of course they'd been horrible and they had to get their comeuppance. Dark and Shayna then worked together to get rid of Katana and Chance, as Nia Jax absolutely ruined Ivy Nile and basically threw her out and she landed on her head. Dupri then got upset by this, because of course Ivy is her friend, and she was able to boot Jax right in the head. That's when Nia looked at her like, you're wasting my time, man. She eliminated Maxine. Whoops. Becky was then able to get rid of Piper when this thing got totally out of control, because even though Niven had been eliminated, she put Becky Lynch onto Allen the announce table, and she just absolutely kicked the shit out of her. And because the Battle Royal does have stupid rules, this was totally fine. But I've told you before, never change this, it makes me... It got even more dumb too, because Nia Jax saw this, and she picked up Piper Niven, and she Samoan dropped her onto Becky Lynch. The table kind of broke, but kind of didn't. Now listen, I understand what they were going for here, but sometimes you try and draw a masterpiece and it just looks like a kid's drawing of a ship. That's kind of what this was. The absolute highlight, though, was that while this was all going on, Natalya threw out Chelsea Green, when she was like, man, I'm going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin from 1997, because all the officials were so distracted, she just got back in the ring. Now, it's a shame she didn't go on to win, but that spot, once again, it's so, so silly. Please never change it. Eventually, everybody else got thrown out. We got down to our final two of Liv Morgan and Nigel Jax, when, of course, even though Michael Cole had said Becky Lynch is definitely out of this thing, the man rose from the ashes, and it was a final three. Her and Liv Morgan had to basically team up to get rid of Nia Jax, as she was being all like, oh, I'm more powerful than you. And after they hit her with every single finisher they had, they did throw her to the floor, So yeah, now we're officially down to two. I think this is what I expected as well, because again, it should have been one of them. And when they fought to the ring apron, when Liv thought she was going to win, instead she went right into the manhandle slam. She went flying into the ring apron, which is the hardest part of the ring, meaning Becky is the brand new women's champion. Now, some people on the internet are like, oh, why couldn't it be somebody else? Well, one, there was a point when Becky Lynch was going to win at WrestleMania, but WWE changed their minds because Rhea was so over, so you may as well go back to the original plan. And B, I'm pretty sure, knowing Becky and what she's been saying recently, that she will lose this championship in a one-on-one fight, and whoever that one is going to benefit well more than just winning a random battle royal. So the match itself was basically okay, but I do think we picked the right winner here. You can get mad in the comments, but this is one that I think you should be patient with, because I'm pretty confident with this. That's why I'm giving it up. Which does bring us to the end of Monday Night Raw. This was a very strange episode, because a lot of it did feel like filler, mostly because we have the draft next week. But I was entertained enough, as I did watch it live in the USA. A bit of a simpleton. It's getting it up. Now, of course, please do like the video, share the video, and subscribe. And leave me a comment below saying, Simon, you like wrestling too much. It's a bind I have to deal with every single day. Click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs for AEW Dynasty, which was a tremendous show, by the way. Otherwise, thanks for joining me. I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.